from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Come on, man. Let's let that man home fly. One more time. Let him fly. What's good? One more time for Janet Jackson at the Golden One Center tonight. Come on, man.
The queen.
Yes,
icon.
Welcome in here. One more time for Manny.
We got some Manny, man. Oh, man.
Benzitos.
Man. It's smelling like money in here, man. It's smelling like money in here. I love these tacos, man. Come on. Taco Tuesday.
Welcome in here to the June 11th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Man, and we are happy that you are here with us. We hope you're inside, man. Shout out to all the delivery drivers out there. Shout out to Delivery Joe leading the crew out there. Ooh. Y'all be safe.
Yeah, man.
Drink water. Keep that air conditioner on. Shout out to all the construction workers. Everybody out there doing what they do, man, we appreciate you so much for being here with us. We appreciate all of the work that you do day in and day out. There is a lot to discuss today. Of course, we've got news on Kristaps Porzingis' lower leg injury, and that's just what I'm going to call it.
I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know how to pronounce the torn medial retinaculum.
Whoa, chill. Just
okay. Well, what is it?
Just go with your original thought. Lower leg.
It got
dangerous. I don't know.
As far as I'm concerned, the way the Shams tweeted, they amputated that thing.
How did it get dangerous?
Jesse hurt him.
Hey, whoa.
He said he had torn medial what?
Retinaculum.
Be careful.
What word am I tippy toeing around? And I'm not sure. I'm confused. What word do you think I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying. I'm saying it's getting close to who used to say that? Was it The Rock? Who used to say that?
No, you say it.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're saying.
I feel like I know all The Rock's promos, and I don't know what you're talking about.
He's saying, hey, ref, look at him. Well, play looks clean to me. He's here begging for
it. It was getting close. That's what I said. I was just getting close.
Wasn't even remote. You're trying too hard.
It's good, pal.
Settle down, bro.
Special team play. You're out of bounds. You found yourself back.
Not me. They put it in
there. You spent 30 seconds drawing attention.
Because we all heard the same thing.
Y'all need to stop it. You need to stop it.
Don't tell
you need
it's
to
them.
Stop it. Don't blame the chatty house.
I didn't put it
don't
in the
blame the chatty house. The chatty house is brought to you by Matthew's Mattress. Ain't nothing wrong with them.
Flag on Kenny. It's a false start. Hey, it's a false start right there. Right. That's how we're starting the show. It's a false start.
That's good officiating right there. That's good officiating
lower
right
leg.
There.
Where is that?
Whatever
is that,
it is.
Is that around the Achilles? Is it a calf? Or?
So the way James was explaining it, he found, I guess, a doctor had either quote tweeted or responded to Shams' report or one of the reports. And he said that there's tendons down there by the ankle. Mm. Now, if I'm not mistaken, those are I don't know if those are the runs that run up the calf or not, or if they're separate. But what tore is it's something that protects those ligaments. And the way the doctor described it was it's like a seatbelt. Mm. It keeps those things all where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And Kyle found another, you know, tweet as everybody is trying to dissect what the hell happened. The wording from Shams and these different insiders is this is an extremely rare injury. Well, they're doing this injury completely injustice. Like, this is not an extremely rare injury. This is like a once in a lifetime type injury.
It's rare,
crazy,
rare.
Man.
Kyle said, I can't remember if it was 32 or 36. Either
36.
Way, he said there were 36 documented cases of this injury.
That's crazy.
36? Like, poor Porzingis. He's the 37th? That is absolutely incredible.
Wow.
I have as soon as we saw this injury come up, the first thing I said, I've never seen this before. I have no idea what happened.
I didn't know what that was.
I thought it was in the knee.
I read the tweet. I was like, oh, his season's done. We'll see you again like next January or something.
Yeah, and I'm of the belief his season is over. But I think I think they're leaving the door open with this day-to-day thing. Because if the Boston Celtics win tomorrow, like you could really quiet this conversation down. Unfortunately, if the Dallas Mavericks win tomorrow, I think it's going to get that absence of Porzingis, man, what a difference maker! He was really good in both games. Is this the opening that the Dallas Mavericks needed? I'm sure those discussions are being had on the talk shows right now.
Yeah,
but I think. If the Celtics win tomorrow, you could really shut this conversation down. But he was a difference maker in both games. And so what happens next will certainly be interesting to follow. I think Kristaps Porzingis is a phenomenal luxury for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
He has been phenomenal in his year with the Celtics. He has been phenomenal in these two games. But I don't think a potential absence of Porzingis changes my mind. Even if we were entering game one, it doesn't change my mind on Boston being the better team here.
No.
But I don't want to pretend like it's nothing. It's something, but
no, it's definitely something. I've looked at Porzingis being on this Celtics roster as, when he's not there, they can win a championship. They can absolutely win a championship. They're that good. They're that talented. The roster's that stacked.
Mm-hmm.
When he is there, they feel unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of the simplest way I could put it. Like there's a chance for them to lose 4 out of 5 without Porzingis. I don't see that happening because I think they're good enough.
I hear you.
Him being there just takes him to another level.
9-1. Was that their record
like,
in the 10
games? Yeah, they were 9-1 over the last 10. During the regular season, they were 21-4 without him.
Mm. Yeah, they still,
they'll be fine.
If they never traded for Porzingis, they'd be the favorites to win the NBA.
To me, and this will fit into a conversation we'll have here in a little bit. To me, of the offseason acquisitions, Drew's the true difference maker. Mm. He's the one who is. You disagree?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's a heck of an acquisition, and he fits better than anything they had before. But I don't know if he's that necessarily that far off from Marcus Smart. I think he fits better with this team mentality-wise than Marcus Smart. But, I mean, I think Marcus gives you a lot of the same things. Like, I'll put it to you like this. If they got Porzingis and kept Marcus Smart, I think they'd be right here. And that's no knock on Drew, because Drew's been amazing. But contrary to what the media says, I like Marcus Smart a lot. I think Marcus Smart.
That is not anyone true. Who's listened to this show more than 6 seconds.
That's the media.
And now
what
I feel like you're
portraying.
Dragging down Drew Holiday by saying, oh, he's not that much better than Marcus Smart, because we know you hate Marcus Smart.
Because I don't hate Marcus Smart.
I think I'm with you on this one. Like, if Porzingis doesn't play the rest of the series,
who's you? Me?
Yeah, D'Lo. I'm with D'Lo on this, because if Porzingis weren't to play the rest of the series, I still think Boston gets it done in 5 games or whatever. But if Drew weren't to play, I think that'd really be an issue for them. Like, it's kind of like what you've talked about over the years, Kenny. Like, Drew's able to just slow it down for them, hit those clutch shots and all that, just kind of get them out of, when they're out of sorts, get them back. I think that he's the most impactful compared to Porzingis.
He is that point guard type person that I've said they've needed for years.
Drew.
Drew Holiday is. Because Marcus Smart, they tried to make him
put him in that position.
That's not him by nature. Mm-hmm. But
thought he did a hell of a job, though.
He did a great job. I mean, they were 2 games away from winning the NBA Finals with Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they, you know, couldn't get past anything. I mean, they were right there, and they probably should have won that
game four. And a quarter.
Yeah, game four, they were right there away. With about 5 minutes to go.
It was a game and minutes away.
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, at least for this series, though, I'd say Drew is the most important.
I feel like it's the season to me that Drew Holiday was super impactful. The truth is, with neither one of them, the Celtics could still be here. Mm. But with Porzingis and Drew Holiday, they look like a different team this year, where it's like, okay, I don't think it's a discussion of if they're in the NBA Finals. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, will someone knock them off in that final series? Mm-hmm. But I think of the overall season, the guy who I would put the most importance on is Drew Holiday.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that, because Drew Holiday's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal for this group. And like I said, he's just been the fit that they needed, you know, to elevate.
Yeah, so certainly give everyone something to talk about. For the next, Porzingis, you know, because there's no game tonight, so it'll be leading into tomorrow night's Game 3.
Porzingis, man, this is the thing that you worry about with guys that are just tall. These are the things that you worry about with Wemby. Wemby doesn't have a history of injuries, mm-hmm. but these tall guys, these super tall guys, it's just history has shown mm-hmm. that it's they go through some stuff, you know, because it's just unnatural. There's a lot of wear and tear on it. On their body, on their legs, their limbs, and stuff like that, and I'm hoping Wemby can buck the trend, because so far, like I said, he hasn't had injury history.
Well, I think there's something to be said for that part, though. Like with guys, I think when you combine guys like Porzingis and their size and their athleticism and all that, but you combine it with like an injury, I do believe there's like a domino effect. For example, if you tear your ACL, you're working so hard to get your knee repaired, right? You're working so hard to get your quad muscles repaired and the muscles in surrounding your ACL, right? And you're working primarily on the injured one. And then you've got to keep the other one sharp. So you start working on that. But then maybe your hamstrings are neglected in the process. Maybe your calf muscles are neglected in the process, because there's only so much type of weight that you can do. And then it creates like a domino effect of you spent so much time, you know, rehabbing and now prehabbing this particular part of your body that you've neglected this other part, mm-hmm. and you have situations like this. With Porzingis, this looked like a complete freak. Like, it looked like he got kicked on his way down, and the leg that got kicked was the one that landed first, and you could see immediately something was wrong. Like, he felt uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and then Doris pointed out on multiple occasions, like, he does not look right running up and down the floor. They hit him. He hit in the corner on 2 different possessions before a foul was committed when he was trying to get back on defense, and they eventually got him out on the timeout right there. Yeah, we'll come back. Kristaps Porzingis listed as day to day, but of course, as is the case, The reporting on this is conflicting. Because the two biggest insiders are having some sort of pissing contest that we'll talk about what Sham said today. It is comical. What Sham said today is funny. We'll talk about it. We're just getting started. We're happy that you're here with us. It's Dylan and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Do like Ricochet, though. Like, he's, no, Ricochet's he's dope. Crazy.
And you know, and the thing we always talk about with wrestling sometimes is the kids love him. Kids love
him. Oh, yeah. I mean, sure.
Like, all the stuff he does.
He's a high flyer.
Yeah, they love Ricochet. So he's super over with the kids.
He could have been with the right story and the right booking. Mm. He could have been like Jeff Hardy.
Mm.
Like, Jeff Hardy was crazy over with the kids and the girls. That could have been Ricochet.
Oh. He's gonna leave.
It still can be, for the record. It still can be.
But I think he can come back and have a bigger impact in about 4 or 5 years when he comes back.
I hope he doesn't go anywhere.
I hope he doesn't.
Regardless of, you know, contract expiring or whatever, I hope he doesn't go anywhere.
Did you see the women's tag team champions? You know, they just posted a picture today in the women's tag team.
Yeah, I saw that on your feed. Stop being so thirsty.
They're the GOATs.
Well, it's a little early to categorize both of them as that.
They're the best women's tag team of all time.
Yeah, dude, there's like four.
Well,
name another one.
Asuka and whoever she was with. Wasn't Asuka with somebody? Was Bayley, when Bayley was somebody? Bayley and Sasha, were they tag team champs?
Yeah, probably. Those are two wrestlers who were put together to make a tag team.
This is the best. That's why I said they were the GOATs.
What are they better than the Jumping Bomb Angels?
Jumping Bomb
Angels. Hey, come on, man.
Who is that?
It's the 88 Survivor Series, I think.
Who was the girl that Cyndi Lauper came out with?
Wendy Richter. Wendy Richter. I think it's true. You know that Wendy Richter was the victim of the original Vince McMahon screw job?
No.
So the story is, and it looks, it checks out, like if you just watch it, you know, like something's weird here.
Yeah.
That, she wanted a raise because she was on the cartoon. Like she was one of the, the big, you know, she was one of the stars that was part of the big push.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Vince was like, no. And she got really upset, but she was the champion at the time. So she went out to wrestle the Spider Lady, who was a all black masked, person.
Yeah.
And they go out there, they do the match, and you see this real clunky spot where the Spider Lady gets Richter down and just like holds her down.
And
she's like kicking and flailing and ultimately like, in wrestling terms, she does kick out, but the referee just goes 1, 2, 3. It's over. The winner, Spider Lady. And she grabs the mask and pulls it off, and it's the Fabulous Moolah. But then she goes and grabs like Moolah's like hair, and she's like getting at her, and she's screaming at the official. The report is she walked to the back, just left, and never, like, she just walked out and never, ever came back. And Vince had said, you know, we're going to set you up. We're going to have you lose the title. She said no. So they put Moolah under the Spider Lady gimmick, went out there, took the title off her, and that was the original screw job.
Damn. Poor, what's her name again?
Wendy Richter.
Wendy Richter.
About
to say poor Cyndi. It wasn't Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper. Yeah.
Poor Wendy. But yeah, look. The truth of the matter is,
Cyndi Lauper was a big part of the WWF blowing up in the early days.
Cyndi
Lauper and MTV.
Yeah, I remember it.
Hulk Hogan, I think, went to the Grammys with Cyndi Lauper.
Wow. I didn't know.
I think everyone points to the Sports Illustrated magazine. I think he was on People with her.
Mm. That's major back in
the 80s. Hogan, yeah.
But yeah, they're the GOATs, Bianca and Jay. They're the GOATs.
All right, so they
I mean,
they
technically, he's not jump. Wrong.
They passed.
I'm just yeah,
they
like,
they passed the Bella Twins.
It's like right. It's like
Bella
Bob
Twins
Cousy.
Are up there though. Don't do that to the Bella
Twins. Well, they've been a tag team for like 3 months.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Bella you Twins got him as GOAT status. Yeah. This is as dumb as your Aces Forever thing.
No, it's Aces for life. First of all, we got to get it together. We're 5-4.
Aces
right now.
For
we're
life.
Pick it up.
And then go South Carolina, right?
Well, wait a minute. I like South Carolina.
Yeah, what's their hashtag? Go what?
Go
Aces for life, and then
Carolina.
That's not their.
Go SC.
It's not it either.
USC.
Nope.
Whoa. There's only one.
I know, but that just it trips me out every time I'm back there, and they're like, yeah, over there at USC. I said, stop
don't do that.
Saying
yeah,
that.
Don't relax. Do that.
Stop saying that. They,
yeah,
said,
do
they
that.
Say it all in South Carolina. Like, stop doing that.
And yet, KC's take on a tag team that's been a tag team for 3 months being the GOATs is still less ridiculous than what Sham said today.
Oh, man.
Shams, we might even have to get the clip.
Oh,
we might have to play
so,
this.
So I've heard about, I haven't seen what he said.
Oh.
I haven't seen or heard exactly what he said and what was going on.
Okay.
I heard he was like trying to walk some stuff back a little bit or cover a little bit.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I believe you are mistaken. I don't know that it was on Shams.
Was it on his
it was.
Show?
Was it what?
His show, like, then he on the show with Chandler Parsons and everything?
Yeah, it was on that.
Who has a crazy haircut right now? Chandler looks a mess.
Let's, by the way, did everybody watch Clip last night?
I did. I got some thoughts.
All right, yep, we'll talk about it.
Thoughts.
We'll talk about it. I just wanted to make sure we all did our homework. Okay, so I want you to actually hear it. So we won't read what the caption that they used to promote this. Here is Shams on the FanDuel TV.
My sources have said that JJ Redick has been the front runner for this job. James Borrego has also, you know, been among the leaders for this job as well with JJ Redick. But when you think about the process so far, right? Rob Pelinka has met before this Dan Hurley situation. He had met twice with two candidates He met with J.J. Redick once. He met with James Borrego a separate time solo. And then James Borrego came into the facility, met with everyone, met with ownership. And then they, last week on Wednesday, turned their attention, I'm told, to Dan Hurley. And he was not the number one candidate, the number one guy to go pursue from the...
So I'm going to pause it right there. We'll let the rest of it play. Shams is talking to one person right now. Shams is talking to one person hilarious. On the planet Earth, and it's Adrian Wojnarowski. The funny part about what Shams is saying, because he's talking about JJ had an interview, James had an interview. Sir, with all due respect, you've named three guys. One of them has been offered a contract. One of them turned that contract offer down.
Now, to be fair to Shams, he said they met. And this goes into what Woj said yesterday. It's going to be JJ's first interview.
Okay. Wait, what?
Didn't Shams say yesterday there that...
Oh, no, you're missing my point completely.
I mean, Shams Woj said yesterday.
A formal interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're missing my entire point.
Okay.
Let's try this again.
And he was not the number one candidate, the number one guy to go pursue.
He's talking about Dan Hurley right there.
He's wrong about that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't care anything about the interviews. He's talking about Dan Hurley was not the number one guy they wanted.
Mm.
One guy has been offered a contract. One. Mm-hmm. And Shams wants us to believe that Dan Hurley wasn't their target. So what, and please... Tell me if I'm misreading this.
So you're not misreading it. I hear what he's saying. I'm gonna just play a little devil's advocate here. There could have, everybody outside of Woj believed that JJ was the candidate. He was the one, the front runner. Everybody believed that.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think Woj was the only one who didn't buy into it?
Because Woj wasn't being told that by his sources.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He wasn't being told that. That doesn't mean it wasn't true, but he wasn't being told that, so he wasn't going to go report off of something that Shams and even Chris Haynes was saying. You know what I mean? What could have happened, I'm going to be clear, I don't know, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. What could have happened is JJ might have priced himself out in discussions of what was going on. He could have been the number one choice, and they started talking numbers. And the Lakers and Rob Plankin are like, we're not doing this. We're going to go, let's go see what's going on with Dan Hurley. And that's how he gets the offer to be the first choice.
That feels incredibly far-fetched to me.
Well, but also what feels far-fetched is they got this far along with Dan Hurley, and then without his consent, they just put it out there? Like, they kept it a secret for weeks? And then they just got thirsty and said, we're giving this to Woj. You know what I mean? Like, so that would indicate that they've, like Woj says, it's always been Dan Hurley.
So
it must be.
So
I
let's,
mean, these,
okay, so
are these
let's
people
go with
that
this.
Dumb?
So let's go with this then. JJ priced himself out on Wednesday in this alternate universe. JJ priced himself out, which is just the thought of that is absolutely stunning to me.
Mm-hmm.
But on Wednesday, they turned their attention to Dan Hurley, and by what, Friday, they had offered him a 6-year, $70 million contract. In that period of time, that's what happened? At 11
know.
And a half.
I don't know.
At $11.5 million, working with someone who knows the market, JJ went above that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that
I don't,
doesn't,
I don't
that,
know.
That doesn't
but,
work for
but
me.
But what doesn't work for me?
I don't know when you got on Shams' payroll, but that doesn't work for me.
What doesn't work for me is
this cousin were, Shams?
I ain't got no affiliation with Shams.
Cousin Sharania?
I ain't got no affiliation with Shams. But what doesn't work for me is that the Lakers and everybody involved were able to keep their mouth shut for 3 weeks and then just randomly, without talking to Dan Hurley, give everything to Woj. Does that make sense?
No, but there could be another explanation.
Okay,
I'm trying to find out right now. let's let Shams
from the beginning
do whatever he's doing here.
But they felt like there was an opening there for him. He was in contract negotiations with UConn. He was discussing a deal to go back, and they felt like there was an opening. And they threw what really people around the league believe was a Hail Mary offer at him. 6 years, $70 million. And at the end of the day, Dan Hurley chose not to leave. He chose to stay for $20 million less at UConn. They did go up significantly from his current deal right now, but it is $20 million less. And you think about the Lakers job and what it's known for and the big timeness of it, and he still decided to stay at UConn, go for a chance at a three-peat. And, you know, it does beg the question around the league, was there genuine interest? Was this a genuine process with this, or was this simply just about leverage? So when you think about it, the Lakers are 2.5 weeks out from the NBA draft. They're 3 weeks away from free agency. No coach yet. And I think everyone around the league doesn't really have a great feel for where this process is at.
So, sidebar, the Cavs also don't have a coach yet.
No, they don't. And there's a belief that their guy is Borrega.
Or was this simply just about leverage? So when you think about it, the Lakers...
Leverage what?
Yeah, who's getting leverage?
Like, who's getting leverage at it? UConn. Like, the Lakers do not look...
UConn is getting leveraged.
Why would the Lakers leverage...
UConn is getting leverage for a higher payday.
So Dan Hurley leveraged the Los Angeles Lakers to get a pay increase from the UConn Huskies.
That sounds far-fetched?
No. It fell $3 million per year short of what the Lakers were offering.
It wasn't to get what the Lakers were offering. It was to get more than what he was already getting at UConn.
So Dan Hurley couldn't have gone, after two national titles, Dan Hurley couldn't have gone to UConn and said, I've been talking to Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss. They've offered me the Los Angeles Lakers head coaching position. Mm-hmm. They've given me some parameters on a deal. We haven't worked this out, but I want to bring this to you, and we go from here. Mm-hmm. Is that far-fetched?
No.
Again, this isn't. He's got two NCAA titles. Like, I think you operate with your university differently mm-hmm. when you have championships to back it up versus not shade, but he's done, Bruce Pearl. Mm-hmm. You know, having to publicly leverage stuff to get bigger offers.
Real quick though, but this goes into what we reported. He wasn't publicly leveraging anything. From what we talked about, he was pissed all this came out. Isn't that what we talked about?
Yep, he was.
Isn't Shams kind of contradicting himself here, though? Because if Dan Hurley's using the Lakers as leverage for UConn or whatever, like, doesn't that just mean that the Lakers were in on Dan Hurley, though? Making it seem like it wasn't even like it was just like, oh, yeah, we did this little song and dance. But obviously someone was interested here. No,
I think they were. I think I take it all as they definitely were interested. I think what he's saying is he wasn't their first choice, but they put an offer out. So it was legit that they wanted him to be the coach.
I don't believe that Dan Hurley came up in like...
Why would you offer your second choice? Why would you give your first offer to your second choice?
You wouldn't. Yeah, I'm not buying any of this. I'm not buying that Dan Hurley wasn't their first choice.
Yeah, if JJ's your first choice, then you give him an offer first.
Unless maybe he wasn't, but if Dan Hurley truly wasn't the Lakers' first choice, mm-hmm. we don't know who their first choice was. Because it wasn't JJ or James Borrega. Mm-hmm. It was neither one of them. Or Borrego. Borrega,
I believe.
Okay, Borrega. It wasn't either one of them. Mm-hmm. So if Shams is correct and Dan Hurley wasn't their first choice, we don't know who their first choice was because it wasn't one of the other two guys.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's something lost in translation on both sides. On both sides, if you ask me.
What if, hypothetically, what if Woj didn't get this from the Lakers? What if Woj got this from Hurley's camp and went rogue?
He looks stupid then. Though, especially,
he doesn't look, but here's the thing though. He doesn't look stupid to us, but he might have thrown a blowtorch on any potential relationship he had with that group of individuals.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look stupid in this.
Well,
because he was, in the end, he was right.
I can't get past, and you know, I've been hung up on this. Every time it comes up, I talk about it. I can't get past the coverage. Woj was doing a victory lap. They were breaking down. And this was when I knew it was more than just, they thought they
was a minute.
They had Stephen A. Smith, regardless of how you feel about him, but the first take, breaking down if Dan Hurley being a good choice for the Lakers.
I'm sorry.
Damn near saying it's a done deal.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. What were we watching?
ESPN.
Stephen A. Smith? Is he ESPN? Where's Woj work?
Woj works at ESPN.
So what else are they going to do? What did I say about The Athletic late last week when I was reading my guy's name, who I can't remember for the life of me, the Lakers beat writer?
Oh, Javon.
It's something along those lines. That it looks like a lot of the writing right now from The Athletic is kind of trying to cushion this Dan Hurley thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's The Athletic. It's the New York Times. That's Shams. They're going to try to cushion this and make it look as safe as possible. Of course, ESPN is going to take a victory lap on the day of the NBA Finals, on the day of Game 1, on the day where they have a four-hour version of NBA Today. Yeah, they're gonna use their guy. Our guy's the one.
Yeah, and he's dead wrong. And you guys,
but he wasn't wrong.
No.
How was he wrong?
The coverage was wrong. They paraded the coverage.
You're interpreting the coverage.
I'm on the app. I'm on the app on the home screen. Stephen A. Smith talk about how Dan Hurley is the guy to turn around the Lakers. He can turn around the Lakers. He's going to turn around the Lakers. They reported this as if it was a done deal. They reported it for 48 hours as if it was a done deal.
Okay. I'm still like unclear on what the issue is. Like, did they cover J.J. Redick that way?
They didn't
address it.
No.
Because that wasn't their guy, and Woj was like, don't do that. You don't want to touch that because I got something here. And maybe they felt, I don't know, I have no idea. I can't imagine what it's like being an insider and having these sources and knowing there is this story out there, feeling like you got scooped from Shams, knowing what Shams said is not true. Mm-hmm. And knowing you've got something here that, and maybe in Woj's mind, he thought they're going to know Dan Hurley is in L.A., someone is going to spot Dan Hurley at the Lakers. Like, somehow this is going to get out there. I have to be the one to break it. I have the perfect form to do it. I know what the Lakers are going to do at this point. I know what Dan Hurley's thinking is to a certain degree at this point. I've got to report this.
I'm here to say I don't necessarily know what exactly happened, but I don't think it's far-fetched to think that. So, like I said, I think what The scenario of having conversations with JJ and JJ maybe kind of what he was looking for didn't match up for what the Lakers were willing to pay for him. And then they pivoted towards Dan Hurley.
I don't believe that at all.
Well, how do we explain that they were talking for weeks? That they were making a deal.
Dan Hurley and the Lakers?
Yeah, they were making it. They were trying to make a pitch for Dan Hurley for weeks, and they kept it under wraps. And randomly, they just don't keep it under wraps no more.
Because maybe it wasn't the Lakers.
Mm. Well, who was?
Maybe it was Woj.
Okay. Maybe so. I don't know.
We think that there's a way to go about this, right? You don't want to burn sources. You don't want to burn people who give you information. Mm. Clearly, a lot of what is coming from Shams is coming from the Los Angeles Lakers.
I don't know if it's coming from the Lakers. If it's a lot of what Shams is getting is coming from the Lakers, then he's probably right, right? When he talks about their first choice.
It depends on who he's getting it from.
I don't think it's coming from the Lakers. I think it's coming from agents and maybe JJ himself. That would be my guess.
I think it's coming from the Lakers. I just don't think it's coming from the Lakers people that matter the most.
Mm.
But maybe there'll be a 30 for 30 on this. Could well, be. No, that's an ESPN property. I don't know. Maybe Netflix will do something on the great
Untold
Woj Shams War. The truth is, we can dissect this for hours, and in the end, none of it will make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we hear this. So, like, are they pivoting back to JJ? JJ was the front runner, despite the fact he hadn't had a formal interview. JJ, remember, these are Shams' words now.
Mm-hmm.
JJ was the front runner for the position, despite the fact that James Borrega was the one who was in the facility meeting with ownership and meeting with all of these different people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Dan Hurley just came out of nowhere on a Wednesday?
I don't.
And we learned about it the next day?
I don't think.
That doesn't. that doesn't check out to me.
There's a couple things that I don't think in this whole situation. I don't think Dan Hurley was ever going to leave UConn. I thought he did his due diligence, had conversations with the Lakers.
So you're with Shams, cousin Shams here.
You
think he was using his leverage?
I don't even know if he was using his leverage. I think he was just doing his due diligence. A phone call came, an offer and conversations came, and he did his due diligence.
You think it came on Wednesday?
I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend as if I know about that one. I don't know when it came, but I don't think after he really sat down, because I'm of the belief he even went to L.A. knowing what he was going to do. I think he felt that I do believe like he wasn't like completely on the fence. He was leaning towards staying in UConn, and he went to L.A. to see if there was if he could be convinced or his mind could be changed. But I think he always wanted to stay at UConn. Once he had sat down with whatever decision or offer was made, I think he was going to stay. I believe Shams. I think the Lakers have always wanted J.J. Redick. I think they might have got scared off by the public response to it. Because what have we heard more of, J.J. or Dan Hurley, over the course of the last 2 months?
J.J.
It's always been J.J. It's always been J.J. And it's from different sources. Shams just said he was the front runner. But we've heard J.J. for months now. I think the Lakers have been wanting J.J. I don't know what turned them off from J.J. Or maybe they had a meeting and said, you know what? Actually, Dan Hurley would be better. Maybe that happened.
What if one person in the Lakers wanted J.J.?
That's a possibility.
And that's the person talking to Shams Charania.
That's a possibility. But he's talking to everybody. He or she is talking to everybody, though. Because everybody's getting the same information. Shams, Chris Haynes.
No, they're not. They're all crediting Shams. Mm-hmm. Like everything traces back to Shams
I don't think Chris Haynes is only hearing that from Shams.
Okay.
To say what he said.
Okay.
That's just a thought. I really don't know what's going on here. This is a bizarre situation.
Have you ever heard of the miracle of St. Anthony?
No.
The miracle of St. Anthony, a season with Coach Bob Hurley in basketball's most improbable dynasty.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it
it's a book.
I thought, they did something else on it.
Do you know who wrote the book?
Woj?
Adrian Wojnarowski. Mm. We'll come back. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Shout out to our man Zay over there working.
Big up Zay.
On the internet.
Big up Zay. This guy be putting in that work, man.
He do.
He be putting in that work. Real quick, though, I got a story / PSA.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had the show yesterday and, we were talking our talk or whatever the case may be. And in between shows, called a wife, called a family to just tap in, see what's going on over there. And she goes, oh, yeah. Guess what happened today? So my daughter has this little makeshift DJ stand, right? And it has it's a little Fisher Price thing. You turn this and it plays music and stuff like you're a DJ. It's actually pretty cool. So one, she loves it. She'll turn the little turntable thing and it'll play the song. And one of the favorite songs is the song goes, follow the DJ, put your hands up. It's about to get down. And then it plays or whatever. And we dance or whatever. So my wife, she goes, so yeah, earlier when Reese was home, we're all upstairs. All of a sudden we hear, put your hands up. It's about to get down. The DJ thing went off. She's like, yeah, mind you, you have to spin the thing for that to happen. So I was like, you guys were all upstairs. She's like, yes, we were all upstairs. And all of a sudden, put your hands up. We're about to get down.
Nah, bro.
And I said, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, no, I was like, did you watch the show today? She said, no, I didn't get a chance to watch the show. So you don't know what we were talking about, right? She says, no, I don't. I'm just telling you what happened. It's like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I think I might have woke up the spirits and the ghosts in the house. She got off the phone.
Got off the phone, honey, I love you, goodbye, or just got off the phone?
Just a goodbye.
Bro, you summoned that thing. Don't ever invite me to your house.
Oh, man. I said, you can't make this up. You can't make this up. I said, we were talking about ghosts on the show today, babe. Who knew it was going to happen like that, if at all?
Now, was
it was
you,
the middle of the day.
Was it you that summoned that earthquake, too, that happened on the show? Who brought up the earthquakes first?
That's a good question.
I don't remember.
That's a good question.
I do. That is the most bizarre moment in show history.
For argument's sake, we'll just say it's Damien.
You better apologize.
Yeah, like.
Like, seriously.
That's tough.
But you know, but no, but this is the thing, though.
Oh, yeah, what had happened was,
this is the thing. It's the friendly.
It's a party.
It's the friendly ghost.
It's
they having jokes. Ghost. They having jokes. They joking, man. Yeah. They ain't like gonna like throw a lamp at the wall and like get out of here. It's not that. They like, oh, you think you got jokes? We gonna show you jokes. That's what it is.
So you're just not gonna apologize, huh?
No, cause I'm showing them up. I'm not even telling them they're evil.
Hey, that's crazy, though. Ghost listen to Dino and KZ.
That was wild.
Like and subscribe, please. Leave a review.
Subscribe. Ghost, like and subscribe.
Damn, we even beating y'all with the dead people. That is crazy. That is crazy. Y'all lose to the living and the dead. Man.
Yeah, man, they got jokes, man. Pop's got jokes, man. Yeah, I mean, father-in-law.
We've confirmed this is your... Oh.
Well, they got jokes, man. They got jokes. They funny.
Is it your dad or her dad?
It's both of them. They both be hanging
out. You have two ghosts?
Well, I don't know if we have any ghosts. I'm just saying.
No, you do have, you do have a ghost. Yeah, we don't have to, I don't know. You do.
Yeah, you've got something that's not normal.
Don't put that out there. We don't have no ghosts. Don't put that out there.
Oh, yeah. Kenny was just talking ghosts yesterday, guys, and somehow the DJ turntable went off.
Don't put that out there. We don't have no ghosts.
Yeah, tomorrow there's going to be a full, like, Kendrick Lamar mix coming from the bedroom. They're, well, what's that? Y'all, dad's just down there. Dad's down there getting caught up on the music.
We ain't got no ghosts, man. Don't put that out there, man.
Yeah, I think it's little too
ghost.
Late, pal.
It's not a ghost. It's a spirit, according to yesterday's show.
We don't have neither one, man.
You were all cool with it yesterday.
Angels.
Why did Jasmine hang
angels.
Up on you? Well, okay, no, that's fine.
Yeah, but we got angels. That's it.
But angels, I don't think, play with toys.
Yeah, they have jokes, and they think they funny.
Okay,
they think they funny.
So, the next time, so everybody just prepare for the day that me and Jesse have to, like, take the screen. And so here's what happened to Kenny last night. And, like, just everybody mentally prepare for that moment.
Honestly, I think we just go full on Ghostbusters here. Like, 1320 Ghostbusters crew, we take this thing down.
No,
how do you take a ghost down?
Like I said,
we have to watch Ghostbusters first, bro, figure it out. Maybe some ghost whisper and stuff.
The evil joints are the ones that are, I'm going to throw this lamp against the wall. Get out. Like, that's not what's going on. They're playing with the kid's toy to be like, we got jokes.
Okay.
That's all it is. And, no, and then who knows? It could have been a gust of wind. I don't know.
That spun the thing around.
Yeah, it could have been a gust of wind. It could have been the AC. You know how when the AC kicks on, like it's a initial whoof. It could have been that.
This is worse than your Shams take a minute ago. Like, this is tough. It's tough to see this happen to you. This is.
You
bad.
Know what? No, let a guy talk through it. No, this was going on in my house.
So I don't know. Like, my air conditioner has never hit a gust of wind that difficult where it would spin.
That's a damn good AC right there.
I don't know.
Well, it is, Kenny. It's probably some sort of premium air conditioner that only he has. Just, but
you got
still.
The same weather machine the government has or what?
No. He's got a Doppler machine, like, as his air conditioner.
It's just, you know, regular AC that works well. Shout out to my people over there.
And it, so I guess it starts toys and turns on the TV.
Potential. Well, I don't know. The TV one, that's the one I'm not co-signing. I don't know what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
It was either an intruder or
somebody just broke in and wanted to catch up on episodes of SVU.
Maybe.
That's a crazy ass criminal.
They were going through your DVR and wanted to watch whack basketball. Okay.
They got the basketball
shout out to, Grand Canyon University. Shout out to New Mexico State. Reggie Theus used to coach at New Mexico State. Think is Bakersfield in the whack? I think they are.
Oh, that checks out.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to watch Clipped. Maybe the ghost is just trying to catch up on episodes of Clipped. They wanted to see Chris Paul cry last night.
Well, You want an unpopular take? I don't know if it's unpopular or not.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Fall off might be happening with Clipped.
So, I feel you. So, I think what happened yesterday is, like, that was kind of the serious. Like, if there's a... Okay, one, I don't think Chris Paul cried in that meeting. I just want to be definitive in that statement.
Do you think Matt Barnes was really cursing everyone out?
I don't think Matt Barnes told JJ he can't have a vote because he can't use the N-word. I don't think that happened either. Now, I am still adamant, though, we need to either get Matt Barnes on this show or Alvin Gentry or somebody. We need to get someone on this show. Matt's our best contact. We need to get Matt on this show. But
do we want to do that after the season is over? Or
that's what I feel like. Yeah. We need to get through all of this. Yeah. I don't believe that Chris Paul cried, but I also think that was probably the that's the episode where if you lived it, I do feel a little bit bad for you. Like that was
tough.
That was probably the most difficult stretch moment in, you know, those guys' career was that moment right there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there was no way to make it because there have been, you know, oh my God, Blake is being led around by Donald Sterling. Mm-hmm. You know, oh my God, look at him, Ed O'Neill getting his hair dyed by, you know, all of the. There, this was the moment where it was like, you need to feel the full gravity of what happened. Mm-hmm. And there was no funny ha-has in last night's episode.
Except
it was like
for when the two fans saw Blake in the hallway.
And get a selfie, bro. Get a selfie.
F. Donald Sterling. Yeah. Blake was like, all right, I'm out of here.
But the way that is all happening in real time is pretty fascinating. Mm-hmm. And then I do love Matt Barnes. I got an idea. And clearly the idea was they were talking about the Clippers logo. It was, we'll wear the jerseys that say Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We'll turn our shooting shirts inside out, and the Clipper stuff we'll take off and put in a pile in the middle of the. It would have been interesting to see how that may have evolved, but maybe they don't know. But I just love the Matt Barnes. I got an idea. but I do to a certain degree feel for those guys in the. We've got to do something, mm-hmm. and everyone is expecting us to do something. Everybody is telling us what to do, to not play. I think this has been out there. I think I actually first learned about it with Ramona's podcast, was that the Warriors were willing to, they would have done whatever the Clippers wanted to do that night. Mm-hmm. And if the Clippers wanted to walk off the floor, the Warriors would have done it too. But I think telling that part of the story was probably pretty difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad or anything else like that, but it wasn't.
It was serious.
Yeah.
It felt far more serious.
It didn't captivate me the way almost all episodes of Winning Time did. You know what I mean? And that's, fairly or not, that's what it's kind of being compared to from people like us. Winning Time is almost like the creme de la creme of these sports shows, these sports team shows. Like, they did that phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And we looked at Clipped, and especially after the first two episodes, it was like, oh, it might rival that. And this episode, like you said, it had to get a little bit more into the nuts and bolts. And it just, you know,
well,
it
and part of the first two episodes were the shock value of Donald Sterling,
right?
Like Ed O'Neill playing Donald Sterling actually wasn't a big part of this episode. Mm-mm. His role in it was fairly minimal. He had three, you know, sizable scenes. The limo scene was very odd, but believable given what we've been told. I imagine the next two, three, I can't remember how many, is it six episodes?
I think it's six. That's what I'm about
to say. So three more, we'll have a greater Donald Sterling influence, and then, man, Shelly looked bad in this.
Shelly looked awful.
Have you, and I'm sure I did, but didn't remember, it almost looks like Shelley Sterling is playing Shelley Sterling. Like that actress.
Jesus, they're spot on.
They found
spot on
the woman who looks like her.
Yeah. Shelley Sterling looks terrible.
She looked awful. I got an email. Oh. Boys to Men Vegas residency. That's what I've just been alerted of. She looked terrible in this episode. Just bad.
And then you talk about casting. I don't know. Who's the guy that actually looks like Doc Rivers?
It's Alvin.
That's Alvin Gentry.
That's Alvin Gentry.
Oh, snap. Yo, he looks like Doc.
Yeah, he does. I think the same thing.
It's like, yo.
I mean, okay, you know what? I take that. I assume it's Alvin Gentry because Alvin was on the staff, and it took me a minute because it looks like Doc.
First, I was like, did they get Doc to be a part of this?
Make a cameo?
Yeah, and then I was like, well, no. Is that his brother?
Yeah, I think that's Alvin, but they don't address him as Alvin Gentry.
He's so low key.
Yeah.
It feels like it might be a cameo, right? Like, you know how some movies and shows do that, right? When they tell the story of, I'm just throwing out a random Eminem's story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole time it's like the actor Eminem, and then he comes across the real Eminem in a cameo. Like, I almost felt they did that with Doc. I didn't know what was going on there. But I was like, who is that? But yeah, it makes sense if it's Alvin Gentry.
Let me double check to see what years Alvin Gentry was there. It's if it's not, where's Alvin? The Clippers, second run with the Clippers. Yeah, it checks out, right? 2013-14. That's this time frame.
Yeah, 13-14.
Yeah, that's Alvin.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The King of Vibes. Yeah, it's Alvin Gentry.
He did a good job acting like
he does look like he. No, but he looks like Doc Rivers. That's the funny thing.
I said, who is that?
He absolutely looks like Doc Rivers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.